Welcome to The Public Storyteller. My name is Michael Stock with Dr. Karen Neal. Karen is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. Hi, Karen.
Hey, Michael.
What story do you have today?
Here's a story from Anita Garbay.
The story starts in Boca Raton, actually at Living Room Theaters. It's like a cafe and bar and like just a hangout area. I had been working there for a couple years and I had just gotten out of a relationship and I was single and just, I don't know, just part of the background, not really looking for anything. Our staff is really awesome at Living Room, and so when I worked downstairs as a server, we all would make jokes and laugh, and there was one employee that I thought was very interesting. So Sergio is, the main features about him would be like his hair. Everybody knows him for his hair. He has these curly tendrils, like a curly afro. He has freckles and a little gap like me. And I don't know, he's tall but not too tall. And he's athletic built. He used to play football. He would always make these jokes or he'll make these clips or like say something very witty. But no one would notice because he's such a quiet person. And I'll always catch glimpses of his like picadillos and like weird mannerisms. And I'll laugh and I was like, wow, this guy is funny. He's like my sense of humor. So not thinking anything of it, I befriended him. I said, hey, we should probably hang out, or like, not hang out, but like, you know, get to know each other a little more. So we exchanged numbers because I never had his number. And so we added each other on Instagram, you know, us millennials. And we would send each other funny videos. Like, we'll tag each other in videos and we'll laugh. And I'll wake up with a whole bunch of tagged videos from him and he'll wake up with a whole bunch from me. And it was just funny because we got to show like our funny side with each other. And so that developed into a friendship. I would come to work and we both would be serving together and we enjoyed it. We would look for each other's name on the schedule and it was really fun. And I thought nothing of it, but a little bit of me had a tiny crush on him, but I didn't say anything. I didn't act on it. I kept it cool. But then one day I have a mentor. She asked me to babysit for her, and I usually do that for her. And I said, no problem. I don't have any plans tonight anyways. No dates, no nothing. So I planned to do that. And I remember, I'll never forget this, we were by the server station, and he was putting away some sugar caddies. And he looks at me, he goes, hey, what are you doing tonight? And I'm like, oh, you know, I'm babysitting my mentor's children. They're really awesome. And I give him a little spiel about them. And he goes, okay, that's really cool. That's really nice. And I go, and I'm like, oh, so what are you doing tonight? And he goes, well, I was going to go to dinner with someone, but they have to babysit. And at first I was like, oh, okay. And then it started to sit that, oh, wait. I think he's talking about me. And so I was like, wait, I was a little flustered because I've never gone on a date before. Yes, I've dated people in the past, but I've never been formally asked, like courted and taken on a date, like to dinner or like to the movies. So I asked him, you know, because I just wanted to clarify, were you asking me on a date? And he goes, yeah, maybe I was. And I wanted to go into the back office and scream because, you know, it's soundproof. But again, I kept together, cool as a cucumber. And I said, oh, well, I can't do tonight, but how about we do it Monday? And so that Monday we went to get sushi and we talked about our dreams and our goals and our family. And we just got a little bit more in tune with one another. And it was really nice because I never saw that side of him. And I remember thinking, this could be something. So I know that we were reluctant to tell people that we were dating because we didn't know if that kind of went against anything bad, like if that was against the company guidelines. But our managers found out we were dating and they were fine with it and they encouraged it just as long as we were professional. So now we have been dating for a very long time. We moved in recently. We moved into a house recently and I, by golly, I plan on marrying that guy. And so now every time I, you know, every day I come to the living room and I look at it and I see it, I always think, you know, yeah, they should change living room to loving room because I found love here.
Anita Garbay with a story about meeting her future husband.
A story about a millennial meeting her future husband, which is very different from us baby boomers or our parents, the greatest generation. How different generations court. That's the story.
I really don't know what Instagram is, so I guess I've fallen to that category of not being a millennial.
I don't think that's the only reason you fall into that category, Michael. But first of all, she has such an adorable way of telling
adorable.
The story. Lovely.
Does she talk like that all the time?
Do you think I know her as well, that well to know if she talks like that all the time? But she has this energy, and she self-identifies as a millennial, although I can tell you that is the case. But these examples of, I dated, but I didn't go out on a date. We didn't actually court. And I was surprised to hear her even use the term.
Right.
She uses a lot of interesting terms here. But she explained, you know, what do? You wake up to your tagged videos. It's just a very different world. It's all about technology.
Well, not only is she adorable, the second thing that struck me was that dating in the workplace is usually looked down upon.
Yeah, but let's face it, it is so common for such obvious reasons. And they were careful to make sure that it was all right with management. And one wasn't the superior to the other. And I think it worked out.
That's the thing. If it didn't work out, it would have been a very uncomfortable place to work.
Yes, absolutely.
She also mentioned she had a mentor. I think it's great. She's very lucky she has a mentor. And I kind of want to know more about that.
Yeah, there are a lot of things that she dropped by the wayside, sort of, in the course of telling this very specific story that makes her sound so interesting and so well-rounded. One of them is, besides that bit of information, is just her speech, the language that she uses, glimpses of his peccadillos. And cool as a cucumber is a cliche, but the way she said it, you know, I want to be real cool. And she says something about the spiel. And, you know, so she uses interesting language. We kind of get an idea from the way she describes him, from the bits of hint about herself. We can kind of understand how he would feel the way he did about her.
The Living Room Theater. You work at the Living Room Theater, don't you?
Well, I've done story slams there for many years. And it is located at Florida Atlantic University in Boca Raton. But I will forever after think of it as the Loving Room Theater.
Well, thanks for bringing that story in, Karen. I understand you're hosting a new story slam?
Yes, next week at Robot Brewing Company, 2621 North Federal Highway in Boca Raton. And there'll be a $100 prize for the best storyteller. September 9th, 5 to 7 p.m.
If other listeners have South Florida stories they'd like to share, how can they get in touch with you?
Send me an email, cneil, that's C, N as in Nancy, E-I-L-E, at FAU.edu.
Our website also has information as well as archive stories at WLRN.org. Click Radio and the Public Storyteller. Dr. Karen Neal is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. My name is Michael Stock. The Public Storyteller returns next Sunday.